This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. You're listening to WCNO 89.9. And I am Luann Linekin.
And I'm James Rynch.
Yay! We're here with you. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program. Hallelujah. And we're going to be talking about, we're continuing the spiritual gift of tongue and interpretation. We're going to get to that this week and talk about the benefits of why God gave us that beautiful gift of tongue and the Holy Spirit to be able to communicate with Him intimately, privately, and also corporately when we're using it in a corporate way with an interpreter. So with that, is there anything you want to say before we go on?
No, I'm good.
Okay. So I'm going to read 1 Corinthians, because in 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to read the Message Bible because it's a little bit more, I mean, everything I read here usually is the New King James, but I read that, and then I read the Message, and the Message kind of is more, I don't want to say, I guess, street language. Yeah. That's the way I interpret it. It's like, you know, our language. So I want to share it in the Message because it's a chapter in the Bible. It's that talks about really primarily the gift of tongue. And what the purpose of it is and how it should be used and why we have it and, you know, how it benefits us. So, and before we get into the different highlights of that, I want to read the full scripture. So 1 Corinthians 14 says, go after a life of love as if your life depends on it, because it does. Give yourself to the gift God gives you, to the gifts God gives you. Most of all, try to proclaim His truth. If you praise Him in the private language of tongues, God understands you, but no one else does. For you are sharing intimacies just between you and Him. But when you proclaim His truth in everyday speech, you're letting others in on the truth so that they can grow and be strong and experience His presence with you. The one who prays using a private language, prayer language, certainly gets a lot out of it, but proclaiming God's truth to the church in its common language brings the whole church into growth and strength. I want all of you to develop intimacies with God in prayer, but please don't stop with that. Go on and proclaim His clear truth to others. It's most important that everyone has access to the knowledge and love of God in language everyone understands. Then it's better to do that than that you go off and cultivate God's presence in a mysterious prayer language. Unless, of course, there is someone who can interpret what you are saying for the benefit of all. Think, friends, if I come to you and all I do is pray privately to God in a way only He can understand, what are you going to get out of that? If I don't address you plainly with some insight or truth or proclamation or teaching, what help am I to you? If musical instruments, flutes, say, or harps aren't playing, say flutes or harps aren't playing so that each note is distinct and in tune, How will everyone be able to catch the melody and enjoy the music? If the trumpet call can't be distinguished, will everyone show up for the battle? So if you speak in a way no one can understand, what's the point of opening your mouth? There are many languages in the world, and they all mean something to someone. But if I don't understand the language, it's not going to be much. It's not going to do much good. It's not different for you. With you, since you're so eager to participate in what God is doing, why don't you concentrate on doing what helps everyone in the church? So when you pray in your private prayer language, don't hoard the experience for yourself. Pray for the insight and ability to bring others into that intimacy. If I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my mind lies fallow, which means empty, uncultivated. And all that intelligence is wasted. So what's the solution? The answer is simple enough. Do both. I should be spiritually free and expressive as I pray, but I should also be thoughtful and mindful as I pray. I should sing with my spirit and sing with my mind. If you give a blessing using your private prayer language, which no one else understands, how can some outsider who has just shown up and has no idea what's going on know when to say amen? Your blessing might be beautiful, but you have very effectively cut that person out of it. I'm grateful to God for the gift of prayer, praying in tongue, that he gives us for praising him, which leads to wonderful intimacy we enjoy with him. I enter into this as much or more than any of you, but when I am in a church assembled for worship, I'd rather say five words that everyone can understand and learn from that, then say 10,000 sounds to others like gibberish. To be perfectly frank, I'm getting exasperated with your childish thinking. And I guess this was when they were using tongue inappropriately and making it confusing for people who were coming into the church. So, and I'm just sharing that. That's just a side note of me just explaining why he's saying this. How long before you grow up and use your head, your adult head, that's spiritual maturity, sound mind, Christhead. It's all right to have a childlike unfamiliarity with evil. A simple no is all that's needed there. But there's far more to saying yes to something. Only mature and well-exercised intelligence can save you from falling into gullibility. It's written in Scripture that God said, "In strange tongues and from the mouth of strangers, I will preach to this people, but they'll neither listen nor believe." So where does it get you? All the speaking in tongues, no one understands. It doesn't help believers, and it only gives unbelievers something to gawk at. Plain truth speaking, on the other hand, goes straight to the heart of believers and doesn't get in the way of unbelievers. If you come together as a congregation and some unbelieving outsiders walk in on you as you're all praying in tongues, unintelligible to each other and to them, won't they assume you've taken leave of your senses and get out of there as fast as they can? But if some unbeliever outsider walk in on a service where people are speaking out God's truth, the plain words will bring them up against the truth and probe their hearts. Before you know it, they're going to be on their faces before God, recognizing that is among you. So here's what I want you to do. When you gather for worship, each one of you be prepared with something that will be useful for all. Sing a hymn, teach a lesson, tell a story, testimony, lead a prayer, provide an insight. If prayers are offered in tongue, two or three, three's the limit. And then only if someone is present who can interpret what you're saying. Otherwise, keep it between you, between God and yourself, and no more than two or three speakers at a meeting. With the rest of with the rest of you listening and taking it to heart. Take your turn. No one person taking over. Then each speaker gets a chance to say something special from God, and you all learn from each other. If you choose to speak, you're also responsible for how and when you speak. When we worship the right way, God doesn't stir us up into confusion. He brings us into harmony. This goes for all the churches, no exceptions. Wives must not disrupt worship, talking when they should be listening, asking questions that can more appropriately be asked of their husbands at home. God's book of the law guides our manners and customs here. Wives have no license to use the time of worship for unwanted speaking. Do you, both women and men, imagine that your sacred oracle determining what's right and wrong? Do you think everything revolves around you? If any one of you thinks God has something for you to say or has inspired you to do something, pay close attention to what I have written. This is the way the Master wants it. If you won't play by these rules, God can't use you. Sorry. Three things, then, to sum this up. When you speak forth God's truth, speak your heart out. Don't tell people how they should or shouldn't pray when they're praying in tongue that you don't understand. Be courteous and considerate in everything. Praise God. So that was a time when there was a lot of, confusion and how the church should assemble, and Paul went and helped the Corinthians have order in their church. You know?
Yeah, they got a new gift in there.
Yeah, they were just right. It was exciting, right? Yeah. They were, you know, it's like anything else. We can misuse, abuse things, even our gifts and talents.
Yeah, so again, you can't pray too much. It's just when you come to church, somebody walks in and you're just all doing that the whole time. They're going to, like, what the heck? They're going to leave thinking you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But unless there's an interpreter. Right. But, it says if you prophesy, they'll walk in and know that God is real when their secret thoughts of their hearts are laid out. You know.
Amen.
Amen. But, because Paul said, "I pray in tongues more than any of y'all." Yeah. So.
And that's in the New King James. He says it that way because it says it a little different here, but he does. And even if you're praying, like we pray in church in tongue, out loud, but it's me praying the Holy Spirit, encouraging, edifying myself with the Holy Spirit, and it's not for an interpretation. So there's a difference in that. If someone steps out, believe me, I mean, I know for my own self, I guess people do it, but unless the Holy Spirit tells me to move out and do it, I would be guaranteed in my heart, without a doubt, either he's going to give me the interpretation or he's going to give it to somebody else, because I just wouldn't want to step out of line. And I think that's what Paul's trying to say, like, you know, be in tune.
He's trying to get confusion out of there.
Confusion out of the, yep. Mm-hmm. So, and it talks a lot about the benefits and the purpose of tongue and what, for individually and corporately, for the church, for the body. So several benefits and values for speaking in tongue. And that's what it really addresses. Our personal is to edify and build me up personally with the Holy Spirit and to intercede for others. And that's how it affects others. Sometimes I don't know, you know, like I have shared on the air that I pray if I wake up unexpectedly in the middle of the night and I'm, you know, kind of like tossing and turning or I'm not, you know, I'm up a little bit. I start praying in tongue. I walk the dogs, I pray in tongue. So, and it just becomes now, I sing in tongue, actually, when I'm walking the dogs. And now it's just a natural thing that I do.
The dogs like it?
They love it. And I'm sure people think I'm praying in a language, you know, singing in a language. So I just, you know, sometimes when I'm driving, I'll start praying in tongue. So, and those are just ways that you can let the Holy Spirit intervene for someone. In, you know, it could be in your life. It could be someone that you don't know.
It says when we pray in tongues, we edify ourselves. So yeah. One the few ways we can edify ourselves.
Amen. And that's
so
that's
your spirit knows
build
what you need more
up
than
in
you
the
do.
Holy Spirit.
Because we're just led of the flesh so much, we may be feeling one way, but our spirit man knows.
Right.
Or the Holy Spirit knows what we need to pray.
And then, right. So, and some of the, and the other thing is it's proof. It's evidence of the Holy Spirit in the believer. And it's evidence for the unbeliever when there's an interpreter and
yeah.
they're being spoken to in their heart, the place that only God knows what they're thinking, what they're speaking in their mind, okay?
It's basically like prophecy coming forth.
Amen, yeah.
Through gift of tongues and yeah. gift of interpretation.
Praise God. So public unbeliever hear that, and the believers hear it, can interpret for some for them personally. It glorifies God's gospel. It could be a message from God that he wants to inform and give to his people, right? And it's proof that God is present with us. Hallelujah. Amen, yeah. right?
It's good and, we're teaching on this because it's going to be getting moving more
amen.
As revival starts to come here.
Amen.
Because we've kind of moved away from the gifts and anything that could make someone, you know, because it got about numbers so much that we don't want to offend. And you're moving to gifts and you pray for people and they're not healed. I mean, there's a lot of fear goes on with people mm-hmm. in big churches they're trying to get. So it's good that we're teaching this.
Amen. And one of the other values and benefits is that it's prophetic. It's a prophetic interpretation by the believer who's speaking it, because you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to have God's message. Okay, because we could be filled with other spirits and do and say things, and it's not God's message. And for those who are hearing it, will know it's God's message, because even if they don't know the word, they may have had a secret conversation with God, or they're experiencing something that God's speaking. They had a question, and it's being spoken out through another person, and they're like, "Huh? How would that person know that?" Okay, so it has a prophetic benefit. And it for even for my own self, you know, when Pastor Ted sometimes prophesies and stuff, you always whenever I hear a prophecy, I try to personally receive it for myself, you know, whether it's coming from tongues or just a prophetic word.
Yeah.
You want to be able to grab that and receive it and say, thank you, God. You know, even if they're directing it to someone else. So, and it edifies and builds up the church when we are in that prophetic place with the spiritual language, the prayer language. Okay? So let's talk about the personal value and benefits of God's Holy Spirit language in us, coming out of us, right? So tongues is a sign of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2:4, and we've been talking about that the last couple of sessions. And let me just say this. This is connected. When God gave me these teachings, he connected it to step 12, only because these are gifts and talents and fruits. We're going to be talking a little bit about fruits as we move forward that are needed, not only needed because we already have them, but being able to utilize them and know when we need them. See, I have all these gifts before I even start operating in them. As soon as I became born again and the Holy Spirit indwelled me, I received the Holy Spirit in my life, I received all the gifts, all the promises, all the benefits. Now, as I walk daily, being sanctified daily and grow spiritually, I get to identify when I need to call or pull out in my heart treasure a ruby of maybe forgiveness. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need to, that's fruit, things like that. We need to know when they are appropriate. And that's what he's saying even in 1 Corinthians 14. We have to grow up and understand when God's operating and when he's calling us to operate for him, okay?
And the gifts and maturity have nothing to do with each other, but the fruits is the growth.
That's right. Amen.
Fruits we grow.
And
gifts are downloaded instantly and dies some very immature people.
Yes.
Just being honest.
Right. And it could, and then it looks cockeyed.
Well, then they get upset because...
looks cuckoo.
Yeah. Well, a lot of us, very accurately, I mean, what if somebody's praying every blind person gets healed, but yet you know, they're out having sex or
something. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Because the gifts and repentance don't, the gifts are without repentance. So it's like when he downloads, then the person usually that's very gifted ends up getting very hurt because people try to correct and then they get in rejection and they go through this 10-year cycle of trying to, before they get mature enough.
Or.
And they're not the gifts, but the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And as their fruit grows and catches up with their gifting, then they can...
They're more effective. And I'll tell you why. Because if someone, especially, I know people who do operate in the gifts, but their lifestyle kind of like negates the believable part. You know what I mean? It makes it harder for someone to believe. And that's the thing. But I know that they can be operating so I can receive it. But someone who's not in that place might say, I'm not taking this serious. Mm-hmm. You know, they're less likely to be effective, is what I'm saying, when they're not operating with the fruit and the gifts. Yeah. Hallelujah. So in Acts 2:4, it says, and they were, I did want to read what step 12 is. It is having had a spiritual awakening. So knowing what the spiritual gifts are and knowing the difference between godly gifts and ungodly gifts and talents and fruit, because they grow on both sides. Just one is pure, healthy, and the other one's impure and rotten. But I need to know the difference.
And with tongues, because the enemy can talk in tongues.
Oh, yeah.
There's spirits that can, and the people think it's God.
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest thing to do, because when a spirit is actually in manifestation, you say, confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And they'll say, oh, Jesus Christ.
They won't do it.
Amen. They can't do it when it's up.
Right.
But you may talk to them when it's not up, the same person, and they'll confess that.
Because
they are saved. They just, that spirit, if it's speaking in tongues, then it's not God.
Because it's the other spirit. Yeah. It's like the Holy Spirit in us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's so good. Mm-hmm. So, and it does say, so as we have a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, which are the characteristics of God from step 1 through 11, we have grown up spiritually with honesty, knowing the Holy Spirit, hope of glory lives in us, faith, courage, forgiveness, love, integrity, willingness. All these things build us up and give us spiritual growth and give us the character of God. So the old dead man is less likely to rise up, which we will be talking about probably more so next week. But so when we operate in the new man identity, we're resurrected with pure, incorruptible. But that's where we want to operate, okay? And so in step 12, we should be at a place where we're fully operating in that. And when we're not, we can recognize it and say, whoa, I need to get right with God right now before I step into that place with that person, place, or thing, right? And as a result, we try to carry this message. So whatever message it is, you can apply this. The good news, the message of sobriety, the message of healing, the message of forgiveness. You know, you pick the message that you're going to put in it, but you need to have a spiritual awakening about how God wants to operate in that message. And it's always through love. And drawing that person into God, into love, into his message, into Jesus, especially the sick and suffering person, right? The one who has spiritual malady. Believers can have spiritual malady. That means they're not well in certain areas of their life. Spiritual malady is unforgiveness, right?
Jealousy.
Fear. Go ahead, James.
Rejection.
And we go through
self-pity,
big one, pride, right?
Yeah.
So, and we do this all year round. We talk about these things. And this is all, now this is the summing of it up. We had all these special sessions on the radio about pride, about, and it, now it all starts to come together. Oh, yeah, I remember. I'm prideful when, blah, blah, blah. I need to confess, go to God, lay down myself. Get over myself, step over myself into himself, and let him have full access to my heart, my mind, my words.
Kind of like if you bought an RV campground, then you own it and you go out there And then you got some squatters, and you're like, well, this one here, you need to move this motorhome here. This fear's got to get out of here. You're not, this is my place. And then the self-pity's over the trench, got no wheels on it. And like, we got, you're cooking records. Man, this one's hard. And you just, some of them you struggle with, you know?
Yeah.
Whether exactly. It can be an addiction, but it's just, you know, we're all in a growing process. So
that's right. That's why we have to love each other and pray for each other. And, you know, see in the spirit, see what God sees. He loves every one of us. It sorrows him to see people suffering when they don't need to be suffering, where they don't need to be suffering. Okay, so we want to practice these principles, these promises, the character of God in all our affairs. And all our affairs means even our finances, even our parenting, if we're bosses, how we treat our workers, if we're a worker, how we treat the people around us, how we treat our boss, even when they could be tough on at times. We have to turn the other cheek, you know, give a cloak. This is what God says. You've heard it said, be an eye for an eye. And I say this, the kingdom of God says this. We turn a cheek. Sometimes we have to surrender and say we're sorry, humble ourselves, or repent. For the price of peace, you know, for the sake of peace, I would rather say I'm sorry, even if I'm. It doesn't matter who's right or wrong. It's bringing peace to the table. Somebody has to offer that at the beautiful
reconciliation.
Yeah, the Last Supper. Think of it as what table you're going to eat at. What do you bring into the table? I want to bring something that's delicious for everybody, which is love, peace, joy.
Should okay. I tell the reconciliation story?
Go ahead, tell it. And then I'll read
Acts 2:4. This well-known minister, he woke up and one morning the Lord said, meekness is a magnet that attracts my favor. And he said, America has a justified sense of reconciliation. They think, well, I was 20% wrong in the argument. I'll own my 20%. The other guy will own theirs. But then they never reconcile because they're 60% missing. And he said, I was 100% right, and I owned 100% of your wrong. And am I calling my people to stretch that 20 to the 80 to make reconciliation? Because I don't care about your arguments. I care about reconciliation.
Amen.
And these are the people that will attract my favor at this time.
Amen, amen. Amen. And that's why even when people say, I'll own my part, it's not about owning a part. It's about, you know, like I was sharing with someone, one of my own children, that she was unsettled. There was a conversation a couple of nights ago with her, amongst her and friends and stuff. And she responded to their negative response to something. And she said, for a couple of days, I just felt horrible about the way I responded, even though she was right in what she was believing. You know, no one ever deserves to be murdered, or you know what I mean? So one of the things I shared with her is to apologize for the way she, you know, her wrong. Own it. And then you can't control what other people do, but you feel peace when you say, I'm going to take 100% of that part that I, you know. Because if there's a problem in my life, I'm not 50% of it, because I'm 100% of that problem in my life. That person should not even own any of that problem in my life. So I need to clear up my 100%, you know?
Yeah, and they say, why are you renting time? And
yeah, that's exactly it. I'm not going to give somebody not even 10%, because 10% is a lot. You know, a lot of my day, a lot of my time, it's not worth it. I grab the whole 100%, I'll own it. Forgive me, Father, if I need to make an amends, if I didn't act appropriately in a response, whatever it is. And then you're free from it.
And when they stoned Stephen, he said, forgive them, Lord, they know not what they do. When they crucified Jesus, he said, forgive them, they know not what they do. And the church right now, with this stuff going on with Charlie Kirk, they're not realizing that these people that are saying they're glad he's dead, he deserved to die. A godly person that's really got a relationship with God can get more trouble for how he's reacting to that person.
Right.
Because that person don't know God. Mm. They're just led by demons, you know, mm-hmm. and demons of hate and everything else. And deception. Deception is very strong in the earth right now. You know, that's not just everybody went crazy. That's a spirit of deception mm-hmm. over our country mm-hmm. that's trying to take us down. So you can get more trouble getting an argument and then bitterness and get inflicted in your body over the person that's doing that, even Correct. Though it's a terrible thing, that we still got to walk in love.
That's right. And, you know, and that's exactly what I'm saying as far as in that situation, because then people, the way we respond is more effective. Mm-hmm. You know, when it that goes against what they're expecting too, mm-hmm. it's the head tilt, like, you know, that's what Jesus did. He never fed into, he didn't feed off of that. He fed off of love.
He never got in a shout match with somebody
no.
going back and forth.
No, no. So Acts 2:4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So that's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If you're not speaking in tongues and you have the Holy Spirit, it's because you're choosing not to speak in tongues.
Analytical people have a lot harder time.
Yeah.
Left brain people.
Yeah.
You know, right brain people flows pretty easy. Left brain really have a hard time disengaging.
And also, there's lots of reasons. Because I know for myself, could be fear of man. What are people going to think if I do that? It could be pride. I'm going to look stupid. You know, like things like that can keep you from it. And I'm making an accusation on what I'm trying or condemning anybody. I'm trying to wake up the inside and maybe have some conviction, huh? Because all we have to do is open our mouth and let the Holy Spirit have his way. And he will pray to God. That's what he wants to do, right? So it stirs up our faith. It bubbles us up when we, it's a benefit, it's a value to be able to pray in tongue, sing in tongue, speak in tongue, whatever it is. And out on us, we pour out blessings, even to others. In ourselves, it bubbles us up inside, that it bubbles us up so much that we start to pour out. And that's when we might get a prophetic word.
You know, a lot of times, like if you're praying over someone and you don't know what to pray and you lay your hands on them, you just...
That's what
pray in tongues a little bit. You don't even realize you're getting...
Amen. Amen.
I don't know if it's interpretation or not, but you just start getting the Holy Spirit to start showing you things. Yeah.
And then you can start casting out in your language, and then you're in the Holy Spirit, then you're in your language. So that and God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. So in 2 Timothy 1:6, it says, For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. And the gift is of the Holy Spirit, right? Which is in you through the laying of the hand of my hands. So we want to lay hands on people and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so if you feel like that's something you want, you can ask elders in your church, someone you believe has the Holy Spirit. And you may even, if you're questioning yourself, have somebody pray on you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit in your heart. Get to know who the Holy Spirit is, and give him full access to operate and teach you and lead you and guide you and walk in the Spirit. Talk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Right? So John 7:38 says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And that's Holy Spirit. So it starts to feel like that when you pray in the Spirit. If you pray long enough, give yourself first maybe 5 minutes a day and praying in the Spirit, then it'll grow. You'll start praying more and more. All right. And out of your mouth will flow rivers of living water. Because when the Holy Spirit is praying and you're not, you're not even thinking, which is good because your thoughts can't get in the way. All right. Jude 1:20 says, but you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. It's Holy Spirit language. It's praying in the Holy Spirit is your prayer language. It's the gift of tongues. Spiritual edification That's what it does for us. It edifies us, encourages us, not only builds up in us and out of us for others in our faith, it builds us up in the faith, but it edifies us spiritually in us, right? So 1 Corinthians 14:4, which I read, but now I'll read it in the New King James. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. And that's the whole purpose of the interpretation. It's an interpretation of the tongue. You could just prophesy, but if someone speaks in tongue at the church, there is an interpreter. That's a prophecy of the interpretation of tongues. It reminds us, benefit and value us, of spiritual indwelling, comforting us that the Holy Spirit is with us. God will never leave us or forsake us. He's with us. He goes before us. He goes beside us. He goes in us wherever we go, whatever. And, you know, that's comforting for me, because sometimes I know God will straight, like, I don't know how to say it. For me, it's comforting to know that he's already there. He's already paving a way. If I have something challenging I have to do, or if I have to, you know, whatever it is, I have to maybe even come in here talking on the radio. I always like, God, man, this is a privilege, first of all, but I come here and my first thought is, oh my God, do I have anything to say? And I'm like, God, you have something to say. It's all for you. It's all your way. It's all your way. It's all what you want. You know what everyone needs to hear. So have your way with me. And once I start doing that, I get a sense of peace and ease and calm. And, you know, I know he filled me up during the week and as I was doing my time with the Lord. And it'll come out as he sees fit. Praise the Lord. So I get out of the head and into the heart. And it's just that simple. You might have a meeting that you have to speak in front of people or something. Let God will tell you what to say. But make sure you're spending that intimate time with him. You're filling yourself up with his word so that you have the words, his words, to speak out. Okay? And Matthew 5:4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And John 14:16-17 says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide in you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, right? Because of ignorance, darkness, being blind, because it neither sees, and that means indwells him, nor knows him, infills him. See? But you know him, for he dwells. And that tells you what it means to know him is to dwell, right, with you and will be in you. Hallelujah. Infilling. So a benefit and a value is praying in line with God's perfect will, his word. So that's why it's important we fill ourselves up with God's word so that when the words come out, even if we're praying in the spirit and there's an interpreter. You might be the interpreter when somebody's praying in the spirit. You're filled with God's word. He's going to use you, right? Romans 8:26-27 says, likewise, the spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit knows exactly what to pray. All right. For us, we are the saints. So when we pray in the Spirit, when I wake up in the middle of the night or when I'm walking with the dogs, I'm praying. The Holy Spirit's praying. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to pray. Use my voice to pray for someone, something, maybe a situation in life, a person, place, or thing, the Holy Spirit's influencing. He's getting intervening with the Lord, with God.
There's times you're not real common, but I know of three of them I've heard of where someone was speaking in tongues and another, like one Jewish guy that would go with his wife to church, but didn't, he'd just sit in the back. And one lady was singing a song that he sung in school when he was little, in the Jewish school. And he come up to her, how in the world did you know that song? She goes, well, I was just singing in tongues. And he got saved. Cause,
yeah.
And then Larry, you know, that story
yes,
where
do.
He's speaking in Hebrew and mm-hmm. the guy understood it.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Sometimes it is the language.
Yes.
Amen. Or either God's making them hear a language, the gift that may be on the person hearing, I don't know.
I believe that. I believe that the person, because if someone, I don't know, because everybody would have heard that language. I do. I think it's...
Theirs did sound.
Because
I
there are
saying,
times,
sounds like Hebrew.
Even when they were in the upper room and they came out, they were all different people because there was a celebration that
they
week.
All heard their own language.
They all
so
heard
that
their
gift
own.
Was on them.
Yes.
That time.
Yeah. But so it's possible that it could be one, it could be the Holy Spirit language and that people hearing their own language too.
Yeah.
So, another value and benefit is it brings my tongue under submission, you know, not me speaking. Only the Holy Spirit can tame the tongue of man. So when I give him permission to use my tongue, my own maybe selfish prayers get out of the way. My own what I think needs to be the result of something gets out of the way. And I can, even if I'm praying for someone in my family, I pray in tongue. Even if I consciously say I'm just going to pray in tongue because I don't know what to say. God does know what to say. Holy Spirit does. Because I might say something that could be harmful. You know, because it's selfish. It's coming from a selfish place. If that person changes, and I think I'm praying for them to change to be with God, meanwhile, it's really for my own benefit.
Yeah, most of that is,
yeah.
Especially in marriages.
Amen, amen. So James 3:8 says, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Only the Holy Spirit, right? Another benefit and value is spiritual rest from worldly things, from the darkness, from temptations, from, you know, the trials and tribulations. It refreshes our spirit, right? Refreshing of the spirit. Isaiah 28:11-12 says, for with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. So it also keeps you from worldly influences, doubt. When I'm praying in the spirit, I can't say as I'm praying, even if it's for healing or, you know, if God's praying that through me and my mind is, oh, God, I pray they heal, they get healed. And then I start praying in the Holy Spirit, yada barashata kianate, only because I don't know what to pray. And sometimes things look, I can get caught up, impossible, and my heart can start doubting, and I have to shut it down. So I start praying in the spirit and get out of the way.
Yeah, that's good, because we're praying for sick people. You got to look at big God,
amen.
Not the one sitting there if he looks really bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's why I like sharing, like, I'm in a church, people get healed. They get excited. I'll say, well, just think now, when that guy got healed, God probably healed 3,000 or 4,000 other people at the same time. And then he spoke prophetically and probably gave thousands of people's words. And he was giving people's dreams at the same time. And he's helping those people, praying for those people. And all this was going on at the same time, along with the conversation with each and every one of us at the same time. Big God, little us.
Right. Amen. So, yeah, it keeps you from the worldly influences, which it could cause doubt. We can pray in tongues anywhere, to ourselves and to God. 1 Corinthians 14, and this is in the New King James 28, says, but if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Okay, so this is important because it's not, you don't always need an interpreter when you're in private prayer. Even if you're in public church, there are times where our pastor, Pastor Tom, will say, just pray in the spirit to edify and encourage and build us up, not looking for an interpreter.
And I think he's feeling the confusion.
Amen.
In the church when he has us do that. It's because there's like a confusious thing.
Amen. To bring it back to God-centered. Hallelujah. So a way to give thanks is also a benefit and a value. To worship and praise God is to pray with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, right? And in 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to say it in the New King James, 14, 15, 17, and this is what that means, to pray and worship and thanksgiving. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving thanks, since he does not understand what you are to say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. So we give thanks in the Holy Spirit, but when we're giving thanks, and that's personally, privately with God, even if we're in corporate, but if we're giving thanks for others to also join and give thanks, we use our language. Father, thank you for this. You know, testimonies. Testimonies is giving thanks, being thankful, sharing with others. Hallelujah. So it enables us to pray beyond our limits. There are things that there are words in the English language or in any language that's in the world that are so limited. Every language in the world is limited to the Holy Spirit language. There are words we don't even know. I know through
we're limited through we're limited. The Jewish language.
Yeah, they
those
have a
words
big
words. They can't even we can't.
Amen.
Like, there's no words y'all have.
Every letter means something. Their number. I mean, it's incredible if you study the Hebrew language. But what I will say is, through my own experience, and I'm sure there's going to be people listening that can identify with this, sometimes you get a revelation, a download, and it makes all sense. He tells you all this stuff inside, but you can't explain it. There's not a human word that can compare to the revelation that he gives you. So you almost have to minimize it in a way, because it's so much bigger than what you can even express.
And even if you express it good, they won't get it.
No, because
the
it's
same
ours.
Unless
yeah.
the Holy Spirit anoints it, because yeah. you got the revelation. So never.
Yeah.
There's been many things I've.
Oh my gosh.
Known someone for years, and all of a sudden they get it. Like 15 years. I've been telling you for 15 years. I never got it.
No, I know, I know.
So
oh gosh.
I never understood
That's
it.
That's so true. And how many times I teach the same thing for how many years now? 8, 9 years. I'm teaching the same thing, and then I get people like, "Oh, you know what came to me? This," and they got it, and it's beautiful. You know, so it also it enables us to pray beyond our limits, our words, people, places, territories, and things. It because we can go to another country when you're praying in the spirit, and not know it. It's touching another country, that prayer, another person somewhere else, place, territory. It's interceding for something. Okay, Romans 8:23-26. Says, and I read this already, but this applies to this, what I just explained also. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, because I'm limited. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Hallelujah. So that is on the benefits, and there's so much more, but I wanted to touch on some why it's a beautiful gift to be able to pray in tongues, sing in tongues, speak in tongues, and to give the Holy Spirit permission to use you to intercede, to encourage, to edify, to prophesy. It's important, because that's the plan and purpose for God, for you listening. God has a plan and purpose for you. He wants you to operate in all the gifts, and he wants you to, and as we move forward, we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and there are other characteristics of God that he wants to grow and cultivate in our hearts, so that we can look more and more like his image and likeness, and less like what the world sees. Wants us to be, you know? So the interpretation of tongue is for the body of Christ, the church. And I read in 1 Corinthians 14, 13, 15, and I'll read it again. Therefore, let him who speaks in tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. I won't be able to understand. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the spirit and also sing with the understanding. Okay, so understanding is enlightening. It's the knowledge. It's the truth of God's word. It's his word. It's revelation of his word. That's understanding. Wisdom is not, so we have knowing is gathering the information. Understanding is interpreting, you know, comprehending the information. And wisdom is utilizing what we understand and gathered in knowing. So that's the wisdom of God. And we need to operate in his wisdom. Okay, so understanding, interpretation, that builds up the community, the body of faith. That's what the interpretation's for. It's to give us greater understanding, enlightening the body. Sometimes it's for personal. I always take it personal when God speaks. So, you know, I always try to grab it and say, I received that, you know, no matter where it's coming from. When God's speaking, I try to listen and receive it for myself and for the church, for the body. Okay, so tongues is a spiritual communication with God, both personal and corporate for the body. All right, it builds up and joins the body in worship and prayer, union together, oneness with God. The gift of interpretation of tongue is a supernatural ability from God, given by the Holy Spirit to convey and understand the message spoken in an unknown tongue. So you don't say, why don't I understand? Why is everybody, you know, talking? Why? How did that person get that? Not everybody can interpret tongue. That's a gift too. Interpretation. So God, and what does it say about gifts? As the Holy Spirit wills, he will bring someone forth to interpret. Now, usually it's the person speaking in tongue that can interpret, but sometimes it's someone else. Sometimes it's another person lining up, you know, and it's always scriptural. I would say that scripture is going to be a witness to what they're interpreting. Okay? It's not going to be like something from out of space. This is what they're saying. We have to know
the
scripture.
To leave your spouse.
That's not going to be like, you know, something like sell everything and move to Hoshkosh. And, you know, it's going to be a message that coincides with God's word that is sensible, like to edify and encourage. And maybe it could be a warning, you know, from God. But it's going to be something that is a witness to his word. It's not going to be something that, you know, out of a place that doesn't make sense. All right. So interpretation reveals the message of the tongue spoken to the body. Its function is similar to prophecy, like we were talking, to strengthen the church and the community. Interpretation, not translation, all right, can be different in length. And so what that means is someone may speak a long time in tongue, and then someone says, you know, God wants to, you know, I don't know, something, maybe two lines of what God is saying, you know, set the captives free. And there was something long said in tongues. It could be that's the interpretation. It could be condensed. It could be just that simple. Go into the world and preach the gospel. It could be something like that. And the person spent a little bit more time in tongue. But that's where what God wants spoken. Okay? So interpretation may be a few words or verses or vice versa. It could be just a quick yakanata and then somebody interprets a lot more, but it aligns with the word of God. It's going to make sense to the hearers of the word, okay? It's very important, all right? So in 1 Corinthians 14:27, 28, if anyone speaks in tongue, let there be two or at most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. We can pray in tongue in church, privately to God, even if it's out loud. All right, so that's a false belief. I know people say you're not supposed to do that. I don't want to speak out of line, but I don't think God wants us to stop doing anything that's encouraging, edifying, even for myself. And if I know that it's private, then, you know, it's not like I'm looking to trick anybody, fool anybody, or impress anybody. Praise the Lord. Right? So God is not the author of confusion, and that's what the whole scripture of that is about. God's trying, and that's, I believe, the same thing, James. I'm glad you even said it, that might be. It makes sense to me that Pastor Tom would do that when it seems like people are going in, you know, maybe not paying, you know, centered, Christ-centered, you know, the way it should be. So let all things be done decently and in order, and that's 1 Corinthians 14:40. God is not the author of confusion. And remember, all of the 9 spiritual gifts operate by faith. And the Bible encourages us to walk by faith, not by sight. That's in 2 Corinthians 5:7. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise the Lord. So we'll end with that. We'll say our prayers. And I just pray that everybody hearing, ears to hear, that they hear this message and that they get convicted, Father God. I pray that there's conviction in everyone's heart to have more of you and less of them, and to open their hearts to have that you may have your way to speak through them, each and every person listening right now. In Jesus' name we pray, and I pray blessings upon blessings in everyone. And we love you guys.
And pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And
yes, amen.
We don't try to divide them when the UN meets, because
praise God.
So there's some prophecy about that's going to try to be done. And every time we've ever touched the land of Jerusalem and tried to divide it, there's been natural disasters in America.
Okay, so we pray for peace. We pray for peace for everything that's going
UN
on.
To go,
yes,
not
hallelujah.
Try to divide them.
Praise God. So we just pray for everyone listening. We love you guys. We agape you. Shalom, shalom. We'll talk to you next week.
Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Only you can make things right again.